Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. We'll also look at Ephesians 6 and 12. The title of the sermon, How Does This Movie End? Begin reading in verse 17 of Luke chapter 10. Then the 20 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, remember the words here. It says that I give you the authority over all the power of the enemy. Yeah. Amen? We believe that today. Yeah. In this next verse here, you'll see in Ephesians 6 and 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's a great truth for us. That word that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, that he's making sure they understand who and what we're battling against in this world and in this life. I don't know about you, but Sherry and I love old movies. We love the old classic movies. That they're wholesome. They have great themes. They have wonderful endings. I especially like Jimmy Stewart movies. He's one of my favorites. In fact, one of the best movies I think ever made is the movie you see up here, It's a Wonderful Life. It is an incredible story. It's about a man in trouble, and he prays to God, and the next thing you know, he gets hit in the mouth. You know, sometimes that happens to us. We're praying and asking God to help us, and nothing happens right away, and he gets discouraged. He's about to end his life, but God sends an angel to him. The angel comes and helps. It's a great story. It has a fabulous ending, holding his little girl and all the folks coming to his rescue. It's just a precious, wonderful movie. It's a great movie. And then, you know, there's other good movies like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Jimmy Stewart movie. That's a great movie, the wonderful ending. He made another one that's kind of a love story, Little Shop Around the Corner. That's a great story, not as famous as some of his others. But Sherry and I, there's another movie that we really enjoy very much, and it's called The Enchanted Cottage. I don't know if anybody's ever watched the movie. It's got Robert Young, and it's also got a young woman in there named Dorothy McGuire. And in this movie, it's a beautiful love story of a homely woman and a physically disfigured young Air Force pilot. He'd been flying his plane in World War II, and he got shot down, and he's partially crippled, and his face is disfigured. And he comes to this place called the Enchanted Cottage to rest and recuperate. And the young girl that works there, Dorothy McGuire, this homely young girl, they fall in love with one another. And as they fall in love with one another, they believe a real miracle has happened. And that as they look at each other, they're no longer homely. They're no longer disfigured and ugly at all, because the love they have in their heart is so deep and so wonderful, it changes how they see each other. And they believe a miracle has happened, that suddenly he's no longer disfigured, but he's handsome and charming and looks terrific, and that she's no longer homely but beautiful. It's a story about how deep love can change how you see someone. And rather than homeliness and disfiguration, you see beauty in them. It's sort of like what happened in Sherry's heart when she looks at me. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful for that. That movie has a great ending, by the way. It's a powerful ending. It's a wonderful story. Most of us don't like to watch movies, sit and watch a movie for an hour and a half or 2 hours, only to see some terrible, depressing, sad ending. I don't know about you, but I just can't stand that. I don't like that. We like happy endings. We like good endings. And maybe that's why I love so much the old Westerns and the old cowboy shows that were on television, because they had great endings and they were wholesome and they were good. And for example, to me, this movie, Stagecoach, with John Wayne and Claire Trevor, I mean, that is a great movie. At the end of the movie, he's fallen in love with Claire Trevor, and she loves him, but he's wanted by the sheriff. And at the end, the sheriff lets him go in the buggy with his sweetheart into the sunset and living happily ever after. It is a great movie. I love it. It's a wonderful movie because it has a good ending. There's other good movies out there. Audie Murphy, The Kid from Texas. That's good stuff. I mean, if it's from Texas, you know it's got to be good. Gale Storm was in that one. Another good one with Randolph Scott called Santa Fe. Wholesome movies, great endings, right? Good stuff, good entertainment. And then who could be any better than this guy, in my opinion? I'm sorry. It just didn't get any better than this guy. In fact, Sherry and I were so excited. We had a wonderful gift. Some folks in church gave us a gift, Angela and Robert, to go to the John Wayne Museum in Fort Worth. And of course, it was a great museum, but one of the highlights of it, in the John Wayne Museum, they actually have Trigger and Bullet in that museum. You know, the stuff, Trigger and Bullet, they're there. They used to be in the Roy Rogers Museum. I was really excited about that. We got good pictures of that. It was good stuff. But this guy, all the movies he made, wholesome, great endings, right? Stuff that we enjoy, stuff that lifts us up. You think about all these movies, at the end, the bad guys are defeated. And the ranch or the farm or the town is saved from the wretched evil of the bad guys. And the good guy that's on the right side of goodness and decency and honesty, he ends victorious. And he's victorious because not only does everything turn out great for what he's trying to accomplish, but he gets the pretty girl at the end. Just like I did. I did. I got the pretty girl at the end. She's turning red right now. You see? But you know, if you're like me, when you watch a movie for the very first time, we don't know how it's going to end, do we? We're watching it. We have no idea what's going to end. Will it be a good and happy ending? Would it be an uncertain or strange ending? I hate those. You really don't know what they're trying to tell you. Or will it be one of those full of sadness? And they'll say, well, this is reality, but it just makes you feel terrible because there's defeat and sadness at the end of the movie. Well, you know, if you think about it, our Christian life is sort of like those old Western movies I've been talking about. Pastor, what are you saying? Well, in our Christian life, we fight the bad guys. We fight the bad guys. That's Satan and the rulers of darkness and the principalities and powers and all that's evil, all that's corrupt and destructive. We're fighting the bad guys, so to speak. And while this movie of our life has not ended yet, because if it was, you wouldn't be sitting in this seat today. So the movies of our lives haven't ended yet, but we do know how this movie of our life ends. We know how it ends because we win. Amen? Look at the words up there. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We know how it ends. We have victory because of Jesus, because He's on our side. Well, hallelujah. Thank God for that victory. Amen? Praise God that we know how the movie ends in our life. But we're in an epic battle in this life, just like we see in the movies. Goodness and love and righteousness all come from our Heavenly Father. Goodness and love and righteousness fill us by the Holy Spirit and empowers us so that we know our enemy, Satan, is a defeated enemy. And that the rulers of darkness and all those things are defeated because we're on God's side. And God is on our side, amen? Just remember that today. God is on your side. I remind all of us, I think we know this, that the greatest battles in the world today are not the battles in Iran or the China Sea or Russia's invasion of Ukraine or in Afghanistan or Lebanon or Syria or all the other hot spots of the world. The battles that I'm speaking of even include the battles of our crime-infested cities of America, and how tragic a thing is that. But that's none of those are the greatest battles that we face. The greatest battle is a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle for the life and the souls of men and women with regard to their eternal destination. That's the battle we're speaking of today, spiritual warfare. And the New Testament, it clearly presents the theme of the Christian life as a battle. We saw that in Ephesians 6 and 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of wickedness. We're doing battle as a Christian against those things according to the Word of God. It's a battle for our minds. It always starts with our minds. It always starts with what we're thinking, what we're believing. It's a battle for our minds and our hearts. It's a battle for the soul of every man and woman and boy and girl. That battle is raging right now, and we're in that battle whether we think we are or not. We're in that battle. You know, if you look at the fifth chapter of Matthew, we have there written called the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the merciful. But do you know that Satan has his own Beatitudes? Did you know that? Let me share with you Satan's Beatitudes for just a minute. There it is. Satan's Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are too tired, too busy, too distracted to spend an hour once a week with their fellow Christians in church. Satan says, they're my best workers. Blessed are those who wait to be asked instead of volunteering. I can use them in my business, Satan says. Blessed are those who are touchy. Soon they'll stop going to church. Verily, they shall be my missionaries, says Satan. Blessed are those who sow trouble. They are my beloved children, says our enemy Satan. Blessed are those who have no time to pray, for they are my prey. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Blessed are those who gossip, for they're my secret agents. Blessed are you when you read this and think it has everything to do with other people and nothing to do with you. Let that sink in for a minute. I've got room for you at my inn, according to what Satan is saying to us today. Those Beatitudes that Satan has is representative of the fact that in our current culture, that these Beatitudes and where we are today, it's a reflection of the battle that's being waged by Satan. It's a reflection of the battle being waged by principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that want to come against everything that's good, everything that God's plan and desire is for you and for me. Paul wrote a letter to Timothy. It was his second letter to him. In that letter to Timothy, Paul prophesied about the generation of evil men in the last days. We're in the last days. Please hear me. We are in the last days. Look at the scripture with me in 2 Timothy 3:17. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does that sound like the world today? Now it continues on, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He's describing a battle and warfare and what we're seeing going on all around us in the last days. We are indeed in the last days. We see all of these things all around us increasing in severity. But I want to remind everybody here today, the battle isn't just out there. It's not just out there somewhere. The fact is this, that all of us are in this battle. We're all in this warfare. Whether we recognize it or not, Satan comes against us. He comes against believers to weaken us. And Jesus tells us in John 10 and 10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his desire for our lives. There may be some in this church this morning that are very much aware of the spiritual battle that you're fighting personally right now. Satan seems like he's buffeting you on every side, and you're struggling with certain issues of life, and you often grow weary, and you wonder about the outcome. How is this thing going to turn out? Maybe you even stop and ask yourself, is God going to come through? I keep asking, is God going to come through? And will I win this battle? Maybe you even ask yourself, how is this movie going to end? How is this going to end? What's going to happen in the end? If you're dealing with that this morning, this sermon is for you. I want to begin by reminding all of you here today that there is an eternal truth found in 1 John 4:4. You know this word. Say it out loud with me. Just say this with me. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he is in the world. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's speaking of God's presence, His Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, according to the Word of God. And He's saying, greater is He. Remember this. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We praise God for that incredible promise that He gives us. So, when we're talking about battle, it's important to understand the methods of our enemy, Satan, and to also have an ideal of strategy for victory. Strategy for victory that ensures that we're going to win. I want to remind you, we'll take a minute and look at three important points regarding Satan, his past defeat, his present defeat, and his future defeat. Remember this, Satan is a defeated enemy. Amen. He is a defeated enemy. So we begin with the past defeat of Satan. It's a twofold event. The first part of that began with his fall from heaven. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 14:12-15, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground. You who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Satan is going to elevate himself above God. At least that's what he thought it was going to do. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, is what Satan said. I'm going to be like God. I'm going to be even greater than God. The Bible goes on to say, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. He was cast from one realm to another realm, according to this word of God, how you've fallen from heaven. And immediately we see, when he's cast down, we see his work on earth and his temptation of Eve and Adam. And as an indication of his overthrown, he's overthrown, but he has an unfinished task, or he thinks he does. His task is to try to get you and me to have the same destiny that he knows that he has. He knows his destiny. But so it begins with his fall from heaven. And the second part of the defeat of Satan is his defeat at the cross. Oh, the cross. The Word of God is so clear about his defeat at the cross in Hebrews 2:14, that through death he, Jesus, might destroy him, Satan, who had the power of death, that is, the devil, that through death Jesus destroyed the power of our enemy, Satan. That word destroy means to make of none effect. He can have no effect if we stand in who we are in Christ. But the destruction of Satan was not in the sense of doing away with him, because we know he's still on the scene, but he was put in his place. He was put in his place by the cross and by the blood of Christ. In 1 John 3:8, the Bible tells us, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. One of the purposes of Christ's manifestation on this earth was to destroy the works of Satan. And he did it, by the way. He destroyed the works of Satan, if we will just stand in the Word of God and the promises of God. On the cross, Jesus broke the power of Satan. In Colossians 2:15, the Bible says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He made a public spectacle of principalities and powers. He triumphed over all of them. They've been disarmed. They've been made a public spectacle. They have been triumphed over. And as a result of what God is telling us, as believers, we stand in that deliverance. Oh, let that just sink in for a minute. As believers, by faith, we claim the promises of the Word of God. We stand in the deliverance that the Word of God is giving us right now, today. That scripture in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, I made reference to it a couple of weeks ago, about it being God's conveyor belt. It says, He has delivered us. Listen to these words. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He's delivered us. Let me tell you, it's already been done. It's already been accounted for. He has delivered us. So we're looking at, initially, at Satan's past defeat. What about his present defeat? Well, when you look at this concept of his present defeat, his present defeat is based on one thing, and that's the permanency of his past defeat. As we said earlier, his defeat didn't remove him from the scene. He's still on the scene, but just remember, as a believer, Satan is a defeated and dominated enemy. He is made subject to the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen? Satan is made subject to the authority of Jesus Christ. He is overthrown when you and I, as believers, learn the truth that he is a defeated and dominated foe. He's defeated. We stand on that truth. That gives us hope, that gives us strength, that gives us power against what he tries to do in our lives. The Bible tells us what his plan is in that scripture, 1 Peter 5 and 8. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for the weakest object, isn't he? He's looking for that Christian that's not standing in the truth of the Word of God. He's looking for that Christian that doesn't believe what God's Word is saying, who we are as children of God. He's looking for that weak one that doesn't know he's a defeated foe, he's a dominated foe. The Bible says, resist him and he'll flee from you. Know what the Word says? Resist him and he'll flee. And it also says, be steadfast in the faith. So there's three quick steps to victory. We're looking at steps to victory this morning. The steps to victory, first of all, is establish a good defense. In Ephesians 4 and 27, it says, give no place to the devil. Don't give him an inch. When you feel him coming against you, resist him immediately. The second aspect of this establishing a good defense is that we must be sober and vigilant. That's in 1 Peter 5 and 8. That means be on guard. Be on guard. Be ready. He's going to come. Be on guard. Be watching to resist him. In James 4 and 7, it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Not only is he going to flee from us when we resist him in the name of Jesus, then we're going to just draw closer to God, and he's going to draw closer to us, and that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? When we draw close to him, and he's close to us. The second principle is we got to apply the principle of Calvary. That begins with a man and a woman that are totally yielded to Jesus. The verse tells us that we are to die to self, that we're to take up our own cross. There's an old saying that says, you can't be bought if you're already sold out. Are you sold out to Jesus today? You can't be bought if you're already sold out. Revelation 12 and 11 says, and they overcame him. Listen to that. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We are protected by the blood of the Lamb. When Satan comes against us, we got to stand firm and claim that I am under the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. I am blood bought. His blood protects me. It's a covering over me. And then we also are victorious by the word of our testimony. We stand and say, this is what the Bible says. This is what Christ has said. This is who I am in my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ. So we must apply the principle of Calvary, and then we also must exert our authority, and I've already made reference to that. our authority over all the enemy. In our scripture text, the Bible says that Jesus says, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. That's not in our strength. We can't do that on our own. We can only do it through the strength of Christ and His Holy Spirit that is in us. So we've looked at His past defeat, His present defeat, and the third point we look at today is His future defeat. We started out recognizing that past overthrow from heaven, He's thrown down from heaven, and the power of the cross, what it did and made Him a defeated enemy. Satan's future is absolutely certain. There's no doubt about his future at all. In fact, he's bound for the bottomless pit forever, according to the Word of God. Look at this scripture with me in Revelation 20 and 10. The devil who deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night for how long? Ever and ever. Hell was created for Satan. In Matthew 25 and 41, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So, just in conclusion today, he is overthrown. He has been overthrown. I'm going to tell you, he knows it. He knows he's overthrown. And yet, he tries to get believers to live out their lives like we don't know that, like we don't believe it. Because he wants our destiny. He wants our sons and daughters and grandkids and family members' destiny to be just like his destiny. To be separated from God forever and forever in hell. In Matthew's gospel, in the 17th chapter, there's a beautiful story of a father that comes to Jesus. And he has an epileptic son that throws himself sometimes in the fire, sometimes in the water. And he tells Jesus, he says, Jesus, your disciples came and they couldn't heal the boy. And immediately the Bible says that Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of the boy and the child was cured that very hour by the power of Christ. Then the disciples, they run to Jesus and they say, Lord, why is it we couldn't cast him out? Why couldn't we provide the healing this boy needed? And Jesus said these words to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Did you hear that last part? This kind does not go up, meaning you're not going to be successful. You're not going to be victorious except by what? Prayer and fasting. To win the battle, to have that foundation of a strong heart of faith, it can only come because we are people of prayer and fasting. We are getting our strength and our power when we get alone with God in prayer and His Holy Spirit begins to endue us with His power and fill us again and again with that power to be overcomers. And by fasting, that's a whole nother long subject we won't get into today, but by fasting as we set aside our life consecrated wholly to God. Oh, God help us. God help us to fall on our knees and to deny ourselves, to consecrate ourselves through fasting and prayer. When we do that, the Bible's telling us, it's giving us the formula, if you would, that faith will grow and we will win the battle. There's some words, I think I have these on PowerPoint. Let me look at my notes here. Give me a strong heart. I want you to say these out loud with me. Give me a strong heart. Dear Father, give me a strong heart that will not wither away in puny faith, but may each delay, each disappointment, each closed door be a signal to hold on more tightly, to pray more frequently, to trust more completely, confident that when the answer comes, it will be right. Oh, hallelujah. We need to pray that prayer, amen. Individually, all of us need to pray that prayer. No matter how long, no matter how hard the battle is, Remember, we have victory. We have victory because of the cross, because of Calvary, because of Jesus, because Jesus, who is above all in His birth, who's above all in His name, Jesus is above all in all power and all authority. He's above all in healing, and He's above all in forgiveness. He's above all in death because He broke the bonds of death and the grave. Our Savior, Jesus, is above all, and we know how this movie is going to end. We know how the movie of our life is going to end because His Word declares it to us. Look at this last Bible scripture with me today as we close. It's in Revelation 21, 1 through 7. You're familiar with this verse, I know. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God." Now just think about what that's saying for a minute. That we're the old earth and the old heaven has completely passed away, and God has given us a new home. It's the new Jerusalem. It's a whole new city, and we're going to be there. And it says God will be there with us. Hallelujah. We will be there with our Creator, with our Heavenly Father. But then it goes on. It's got more to say to us. We'll get it to work. There it is. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There should be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. I look forward to that day. Amen. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the foundation of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit a few things." All things, isn't it? He who overcomes will inherit all these things we've just been reading. Will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He is my God. He is my Father. I am his son. We are blood-bought children of God. We are his children. We are victorious. If you're battling the devil today, stand in your authority. Stand in the blood of Christ. Stand in the victory, knowing he is a defeated enemy. He wants to convince you otherwise. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He'll come at you any way he can to get you off track, to cause you to lose faith, to weaken you. Don't allow him. Resist him and stand in the Word of God. Amen. Would you please stand with me this morning? I want us to look back at the scripture, Luke 10 and 19. "Behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy." Everybody understand that? I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall any means hurt you. Now say these last words out loud with me and say it like you mean it. I have authority in the name of Jesus over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. Let's say it one more time. I have authority in the name of Jesus over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. We believe that today. We hand on to that today. That is our hope today. That is your hope today. Hallelujah, God gives us that. How does this movie end? It ends with beautiful clouds of heaven. It ends with the beautiful hope of heaven. It ends with eternity as our home, and we're with our Heavenly Father forever and forever. And we're united with our loved ones and our family members and our friends that have trusted in Jesus forever and forever. Amen, amen, amen. Father, we thank you today. Satan is a defeated enemy. We stand in the truth of the Word of God, He is defeated. And we are covered by the blood of Jesus. And we are your family. We're your sons and your daughters. You are our God. You're on our side. We know how this movie ends, with victory because of you. We thank you for that. God, encourage those here today that are going through spiritual warfare. Encourage those here today that are going through a battle in their lives. Help them stand strong. Help them stand in that faith that you are indeed with them. We thank you, Father. We praise you for meeting all these needs. And by your word we stand today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Praise